Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. So our theme today, which I forgot to mention at the beginning, is laughter, believe it or not. So that's sort of a theme for today, the prayers, the songs, the sermon. Hopefully will be funny. Well, I think maybe that will be the case. So I want to share with you a funny story that happened to me this week. And to help with understanding the story, I need to point out two different words for you. The two words can sound very similar, but they have vastly different meanings. And the first one is portico. It's that covering right outside here, the church. The other one is the pergola, right where we had the Stones concert at, all right? So those are the two words I want you just to remember. So pergola, portico. And just a reminder, the pergola has a slotted roof. So this week, if you remember, we had just a touch of rain. Okay, I mean a lot of rain. And I know, Troy, I will stop praying for rain. So now Corny was cutting grass because we had a wedding and a funeral this week. And he comes in after being soaked and tells me, hey, Pastor, the pergola is really leaking out there. So now my mind goes racing because we've had been battling leaks here in the sanctuary from time to time. And now I thought, you mean the portico? Not the pergola, was leaking. And I'm like, oh no, I wailed, thinking about how are we going to get this fixed. Now Corny's just laughing up a storm. So I asked, where in the portico is it raining at? And Corny corrected me. He said, no, in the pergola. And then finally, two and two became four, and I just started laughing. Again, the pergola has a slotted roof, which means it can't keep anything out, let alone rain. So we all had a good laugh about that. And to be honest, it was a really good laugh that I needed because this week has been pretty stressful. This type of laughter was freeing and cleansing. And I hope you've had experience this type of laughter recently, if not by my story today, but because it's a great feeling to have. But I think, unfortunately, I think many of us are too used to the far more common type of laughter in our lives, which is cynical laughter. It's a laugh we make when we know the circumstances that we are listening to are unreal or make things worse. It would be like if I said the government has decided to give us back all of our tax money that we've paid out already, plus interest. Exactly. We would scoff at that, right? It doesn't make any sense, and we know it's too good to be true. And if you're taking notes for today, I'd like you to give you the answer to the first question on there. Laughter can be about trust. Laughter can be about trust. So what do I mean about that? The cynical laughter that comes out of our mouth a lot of the time comes because we don't trust either the source or the content of what we're hearing. Now, as opposed to the belly laugh, the reason the content or the source is so funny is because we trust that it happened. And believe it or not, we do that with God's promises in our lives. You get this feeling you need to quit your job and go and become a pastor or maybe a lay minister or a missionary? We laugh. I know I did. That's ridiculous, we think. There's no way that it's God's will for me to do that. Maybe it's not something as radical as that, but instead, maybe you have been getting the feeling that you need to talk to somebody, somebody you notice who's sitting alone in the cafeteria, or that family member you've had a strained relationship with. Or kids, maybe it's that child who's sitting on that friendship bench waiting for someone to play with during recess. We say, we can't do that, God. That would be too embarrassing. That would be too hard. I don't know what to say. And we laugh at such a funny thought. However, in today's lesson, we're going to look at what happens in our lives when we move from a cynical laugh to a belly laugh. So we're going to be in that book of Genesis like we were last week. But we're going to be in chapter 18 this time, so if you can grab those black pew Bibles in front of you, or if you're using your Bible app, you can go to Genesis chapter 18. So we're going to be way into the Bible today. We're on page 12. So again, go to Genesis chapter 18. It's on page 12 of your Bibles. And as you're getting there, I'm going to talk a little bit about what's going on. We're going to be talking about Abraham and Sarah again today, the original parents of our faith. They were the ones who left where they were to follow to where God had told them to go. Abraham was the one, and Sarah were the one that God had promised to say that I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky or the grains of sand on the beach. God also told them about the land that Sarah and Abraham's descendants would have. And Abraham and Sarah were hopeful. However, it soon became apparent that the promise of God wasn't going to happen anytime soon. Soon Sarah, his wife, became too old to have kids. And both of them were thinking, tick tock, tick tock. And honestly, they both thought that God had missed on God's promise. Maybe they thought they had misunderstood what God had meant by that promise. And maybe they should help God's promise along. So Abraham and Sarah agreed to have Sarah's maidservant be the mother of Abraham's heir. But like any good fan of The Young and the Restless, no, this isn't going to turn out well. And believe it or not, it doesn't. Sarah, surprise, surprise, got mad at Abraham. She was also mad at her maidservant as well. And Abraham didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to feel. And the maidservant Hagar and the boy Ishmael were caught in the middle. Nobody was winning. And in a sense, there was not a lot of hope, let alone trust in God's promise. Then today's story happens. So let's take a look at verse 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of the Merar. As he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day, he looked up and saw three men standing near him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. And he said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant." Abraham invites these three men in, and he doesn't recognize their divine presence. So he gets them seated and then rushes around, getting a meal ready for these folks. This was how hospitality worked back in the day, because there wasn't a lot of hotels, fast food restaurants, or even rest stops on their journeys. So you were dependent on the hospitality of others. So people went out of their way for others because they knew they would need it at some time themselves. So Abraham and his family get the meal together, and they give it out to the weary travelers, and then this happens in verse 9. So again, verse 9. And they said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And Abraham said, "There in the tent." This sentence at first glance might seem like idle chatter, but it reveals so much. You see, asking where somebody is in the book of Genesis isn't about their physical relationship or physical location. It's about their relationship location. We see that when Adam and Eve hid in the garden from God, God called out, "Where are you?" We see that when Cain and Abel had that big fight, God comes and asks Cain where his brother is after Cain kills Abel. So God today is asking this question of Abraham, "Where is your wife?" Now you see, Abraham and Sarah were having a very rough point in their marriage. Again, God had promised them this baby, and when God didn't deliver on this promise, Sarah and Abraham took it on themselves because they wanted their timetable to work out, not God's timetable. Because of that, their relationship was broken. To this point, that's when a guest showed up, and both of them were supposed to be in that tent serving that meal. But they can't stand each other so much that one has to be here and the other one has to be in the tent away from them. That's how broken their relationship at this point is. And then into this brokenness, God makes this stunning announcement in verse 10. "And then one said, 'I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son.' And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him." And now Sarah and Abraham were old, advanced in age. It ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old, and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" She laughed, and it was not one of those belly laughs. It was one of those cynical laughs, wasn't it? She didn't trust that Abraham and her would ever have a relationship like they did before. She didn't trust God to finally get God's act together and deliver on the promise now that she was older than she could ever remember. So she laughed. She scoffed. Wouldn't you? If we're honest with ourselves, wouldn't we all? Looking at our own lives, haven't we all been disappointed that God hasn't worked on our timetables about the things that have been on our hearts and minds for a long time? Where were you, God, in those relationships that I needed help for? Where were you, God, when I was stuck in this job that was stressing me out? Where were you, God, when we had to make these big, hard family decisions that caused heartache and anger? Where are you, God? Where is that promise that you tell me about time and time again? And Sarah is doing the same thing now. And then we hear this in the next verse. Verse 13, the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At this set time, I'll return to you in due season, and Sarah will have a son. I think sometimes we forget about the nature of God. Because believe it or not, God wants us to live a joy-filled life with purpose. I think that bears repeating. God wants us to live a joy-filled life with purpose. God doesn't forget God's promises. God honored it with Sarah and Abraham, who were given a gift of a son they named Isaac, which means laughter. Sarah finally got it at that point. She got the point that she could trust God and also trust Abraham. Her son's name reminds us that she finally gave up trying to make God's promise work and instead let God do that himself. And this is the last answer in your worship notes this week. How do we let go and let God? How do we let go and let God? Sarah was finally able to do this in the end, but as we see, it can be hard. And one of the reasons that it's hard is because when we follow God's promise, it doesn't mean that everything is going to be butterflies and rainbows. We live in the real world, where there is pain and where there's heartache. And the promises of God happen even in the midst of this broken world. And being totally honest, it's really hard at times to wait. It's really hard not to do what we think God is promising us to do before God allows it to happen in our lives. However, when we do this, though, things don't always happen the way they should. So how do we navigate leaving our cynical laughs behind, being filled with those belly laughs of faith? First thing we do is we pray. We need to pray, and we pray a lot about it. And as we pray, the other part of prayer is listening. We listen for that voice of God around us, in our family and friends, and maybe even in the voice of strangers. We need to be patient. I know I'm saying that. But we really do need to be patient and allow God to work. Remember, we believe God cares about us, and God is looking out for us. So we know things will happen. We just have to be patient. But there's going to be times we're frustrated, and we need to let that frustration come out. We need to lift our voices to God, and we need to feel compelled to be able to talk to God about our frustrations. That's another part of prayer, to voice what is going on inside of us. The promises of God are not in some holy sort of vacuum, and we have to be looking for where God is leading us to be better able to trust God. And notice I say trust God, not trust in God. Trust God. So this week, I want you to take some time and think about where in your life do you think God's promise of walking with you is the most relevant. Then I want you to pray, and I want you to listen. What is God saying? How can you be more open to what God is doing in your life? Because God wants the best for you. God wants you to have many belly-laughing moments in your life. So where are those promises that you need God to work on? What do you need to trust God about? Let's all start doing this, because when we do, this changes our lives and the lives of the people around us. And we begin not just to read about this God, but we start living the lives that God wants us to live. And we get to experience those belly laughs and live a joy-filled, purpose-driven life. Amen.